Due to the nature of this week, we felt it was appropriate to change things up slightly this morning. The question that I've asked myself many times this week is, what do we do when we experience situations in life that make it feel like the carpet has been ripped out from underneath of us? How should we respond when our experiences in life and what we know about God don't fit neatly together? Because I think if we're honest and we look back at the course of our own lives and the situations we found ourselves in, maybe some of the news that we've received, how we experience life and what we know or believe about God sometimes seem very incongruent. They don't match up very neatly, or as neatly as we would hope. This morning, we are a grieving congregation. We are a grieving community. We are a group of people that have experienced a lot of different things over the course of the last several months. Unexpected loss this past week, the extreme rare diagnosis of a disease over the last several months with Colby. We have newer members of the congregation who have experienced terminal illness, older members of the congregation who are currently admitted into the hospital. And all of these experiences remind us of just how broken life can be. And I think there are times that this brokenness sometimes makes us question the goodness of God. And I think it's healthy to acknowledge that there are times that our faith is difficult and doesn't totally make sense. We have to acknowledge that there are situations that we face in life that cause us to question. We live with the temptation to look at faith, I think, in life through rose-colored glasses. And sometimes as a church, we paint a picture of a faith that's perfect, where life makes sense, and where everything's okay. And when we do that, we try to hide our sorrow, we try to hide our sadness. But I think worse than hiding those things, there are times that we feel guilty for expressing sorrow. There are times that we don't admit our own sadness, and I think we avoid asking honest questions. But the Apostle Paul gives us permission to grieve. In Romans chapter 12, verse 15, he said, "Mourn with those who mourn." But there is a distinct difference between those who grieve and mourn as followers of Christ and those who don't. Because Paul also said, grieve with hope. There's a biblical process of grieving called lament. Lament is all about grieving with God's permission and in His presence. You know, one of the things that I often hear when things get tough from people of faith, they always make the comment, "I know I shouldn't ask why." Why is a difficult question to answer. And the reality is, when we ask why, we may never understand why on this side of eternity. But just because we don't get an answer, or because we can't put everything in a nice little package, doesn't mean that we're not permitted to ask God why. Jesus asked God why. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. On the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Psalm 44 and Psalm 88 are two complete chapters in the Psalms that are the psalmist asking God why. In Psalm 44, verses 23 through 24, the psalmist wrote, "Awake, Lord, why do you sleep? Rouse yourself, do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our misery and oppression?" In Psalm 88, verse 14, the psalmist said, "Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me?" Part of grieving, part of lamenting is asking why. It is holding before God the things that don't make sense. It's holding before God the things that don't just add up in life. And while we're given permission to grieve, we're given permission to ask why it looks different. Why is it different? Because when we ask why, and when we're filled with despair, we can have hope at the same time. Because lamenting is the process of acknowledging the suffering that we're experiencing and acknowledging who God is at the same time. So we grieve with permission, but we also grieve in His presence. That is the distinct difference between people of faith and people outside of the faith. For those of us who are in the faith, God is present with us in our suffering. Psalm 34:18, the psalmist said, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Psalm 46, I'm going to read to you the first seven verses. These verses were read to me this week by a pastor friend of mine. He said, "I want to remind you this. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in an uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." We're not exempt from heartache. We're not exempt from pain. We're not exempt from suffering. We are not exempt as people of faith from situations in life that don't make sense. We are not exempt from asking questions like, "Why, God, why?" But the hope we have is that in those situations, He's there. He is present in our suffering, and it's His presence that gives us the power to survive the suffering that we experience in this life. We can only grieve with hope when we balance the reality of suffering with the presence of God in suffering. See, one of the things that happens oftentimes in life when we suffer, especially for people outside of the faith, we focus so much on the suffering and we lose hope. It's only when we balance, we have to acknowledge the suffering, but we have to balance that suffering with who God is and where He is. And when we find that balance, when we acknowledge suffering, but we recognize that God is with us, only then can hope be restored. So today it's important for us to acknowledge that we are experiencing situations within this congregation that cause us to have questions. It's okay to have those questions. It's okay to ask why. Travis' death, Colby's disease, are both things that have caused me to have some confusion over the course of the last week, the last several weeks. I have asked God why. I have felt heartache. I have felt pain. And outside of these experiences, I'm sure some of you are bearing burdens that I don't even know about. Some of you are confused. Some of you are asking why. And today what we are doing is we are holding every situation that reminds us of the brokenness of this world in the presence of God. And my prayer is that for us as a congregation, we would experience God's presence and allow His power to restore us to hope and the joy of our salvation. Horatio Spafford's a name that probably many of you aren't aware of. You may not have heard it, but I know that you're familiar with one of his works. He is credited for the lyrics to "It Is Well," Spafford was a successful attorney and real estate investor in Chicago. But unfortunately, during the Great Chicago Fire in 1871, he lost everything. Around the same time, he had a son that died from scarlet fever at just 4 years old. Spafford thought that some time away from Chicago would be good for his family. It would help them find some rest. And so he sent his four daughters and wife to England, and he planned to join them after completing some business that he had to attend to in Chicago. The ship carrying his family collided with another vessel, and 200 passengers aboard the ship died, including his four daughters. Once he arrived in England, or once his wife arrived in England, she sent a telegram back to the United States that began with these words, "Saved alone, what shall I do?" He left for England to meet up with his wife, and while crossing the Atlantic, the captain of the ship that he was on knew about the situation, and he called Spafford to the helm, and he let him know as they crossed the spot where the ship had sunk that his family was on. And it was at that moment that Spafford was led to write down these words: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul." I want to give you some practical steps this morning that you can walk out of here with that I think are important to keep in mind when we are grieving. And they're simple things that everybody can do. First thing on the list is pray. When we pray, we enter into God's presence. The second thing I want to encourage you to do is structure your time. Stay busy. Don't isolate yourself. Don't let your mind wander. Talk to people you trust. Sometimes talking is the best medication. Try to maintain a normal schedule because that's good for your brain. But also allow yourself to feel bad. It's okay to have emotional lows. Matter of fact, if you feel bad, that's normal. Try to get plenty of rest. And know that myself and the elders are here if you need to talk. I want to leave you with this, and then we'll sing a couple songs. After these two songs, I want to encourage you all. The elders and I are here to pray for you. There's Jeff, Doral, Rod West, Gary Sane, Brandon Logue somewhere. We're available for you to talk. We're available to pray. I want to encourage you to don't rush out. Pray for the person sitting next to you if they would like it. But I believe that there's healing found when we gather as a community to grieve together. So here's the last thing I want to leave you with. God's presence with us gives us the power to live in times of peace and in times of pain. Our God is not a God who distances himself from pain. He does not avoid brokenness. The greatest example that we have of God inserting himself into the brokenness of the world is seen in the shape of the cross. When he became present to heal every hurt, every heartache, and every pain that we could experience. And he's present with us this morning. Let's pray. God, we are a hurting people. We know that we're not going to escape the brokenness of this world. But the only hope that we have is knowing that you're present in the brokenness. God, I pray that as we hold these hurts before you today, that you would begin the process of healing our hearts. May you bring a peace that passes all understanding and prove to us that you are truly a God of comfort.
But Father, when we receive your comfort, may we provide that same comfort to someone else. Pray that you would continue to be with the families of Hannah's Creek that are suffering beyond belief. I pray that you would equip us to be people who would be the hands and feet of Jesus. And that like Jesus, we would be moved with compassion. And we would weep with those who weep and mourn with those who mourn. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.